Have you ever wanted a concise resource on the history of Christianity from the time of the apostles through today? Well, we have just the book for you. It's titled The Church from Age to Age, A History from Galilee to Global Christianity. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Church from Age to Age by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Church from Age to Age, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. The terms being used for a group of U.S. nuns, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, by a report out of the Vatican, serious doctrinal problems, unacceptable positions, corporate dissent, and radical feminist themes. What does that mean, and how has this group of U.S. nuns responded? Joining us to talk about a new Vatican report on a group of U.S. nuns known as the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, Helen Hole Hitchcock, founding director of the Catholic Women's Organization based in St. Louis, called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
What can you tell us about this group? I mean, at least according to the press, it claims to represent 80% of the 45,000 nuns in the United States, Leadership Conference of Women Religious.
Actually, the Leadership Conference is just the superiors of those religious orders. There's another leadership conference, which is called the Conference of Major Superiors of Women Religious, which represents another group of religious orders, and they are not the ones that are being investigated and accused of the doctrinal problems that the Leadership Conference of Women Religious is. So they actually don't represent all. they're the superiors, like the presidents of the orders. So they aren't all of those thousands of women. They're just the leaders.
So what are the concerns here being expressed by the Vatican about this group of nuns?
Well, one of the things I think it's important to get right off the bat is that this is not something that's new or recent. This has been going, the particular investigation now has been going on for several years, but the problems have surfaced years ago. And one of the problems are doctrinal, that is, on a really fundamental Christian teachings, especially on such things as the intrinsic value of human life, abortion, euthanasia, and on an adoption by some of the leaders of this group of nuns of a descending view from church teaching and from basic Christian teaching on sexuality and human life and marriage and the whole range of issues that everybody is only too familiar with. So that's the reason for this. Another reason is because they do represent so many women religious in the United States, sisters, communities of sisters, and also have such influence in the world that it is the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the chief doctrinal organization in the Vatican, has determined that they can no longer let this go without having some very serious changes. They talk about, they mention in their doctrinal assessment, grave doctrinal problems with the leadership conference.
So what can or might the Vatican eventually do? Because it sounds like these women are standing adamant. I mean, they are saying, in essence, nothing of which we've been accused, the doctrinal issues, is true. We're going to continue to lobby, educate, and serve the disenfranchised. They're basically rejecting the report.
Well, one of the things that's kind of interesting about that is that the doctrinal assessment by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the document we're talking about, it says explicitly in the second paragraph, it acknowledges with gratitude the great contribution of women religious, seen particularly in schools, hospitals, institutions of support for the poor, which have been founded and staffed by religious over the years. That is not the question. The question is not the good work that they're doing. The question is that they're undermining the very foundation of that in essential Christian teaching. So that is the problem here. What they have, what the congregation has done, is to organize a committee of bishops to consult with this leadership conference and to go over their statutes. And because they are closely affiliated with Rome, and therefore, in a sense, they are representative of the Catholic Church. So it's not just a matter of these are just, you know, an organization that you could ignore because they're off doing their own thing. So that they will have an investigation. What the outcome of that will be is hard to say. This, as I said, this is not a new problem. It goes back decades, actually, where publicly some of the leaders women's religious communities have openly spoken against core Catholic teachings and core Christian teachings. So this is, let's say, for 40 years this has been going on, and now that we're about to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council, it seems like this is it's coming to a head about now.
Sally Quinn writes in today's Washington Post that this new Vatican report is, quote, a war on Catholic women. Is this true?
I wish that it didn't make me kind of laugh to hear that. She said in that blog that she posted this afternoon that those in charge of the Catholic Church are all celibate men, and that already eliminates the possibility of justice. So you see where she's coming from. She's not a Catholic, obviously, and she's very hostile to the Catholic Church, so it's not surprising. And it's not surprising either that that the accusation is made, as Sally Quinn and others have done. These women were condemned for all the wonderful social work they're doing by this evil patriarchal monarchy that is trying to bring them to task. And they would say that the nuns are being countercultural and prophetic. Well, these women are not countercultural. The people who reject fundamental teachings of Christian teachings about what it means to be a human being, what human life is, they're completely in tune with secular society. They're opposing core teachings of Christianity. And these essential Christian teachings, living the Christian teachings, is what is truly countercultural. We remember, Christians remember, that Christ is a stumbling block. Luke tells us that when Christ was presented in the temple, he's a sign of contradiction to the world. And one of the problems with this particular group of women religious leaders is that they are too much, they're too secular. They're not countercultural as the church is and as Christianity is.
To what degree, you dealt with this just a little bit ago at the beginning of our conversation, but more specifically, to what degree do you think that this leadership of these religious orders that are being investigated by the Vatican for their contradiction to church teaching represent the rank and file of women religious orders?
Well, you know, I've been around a long time, and Women for Faith and Family has had contact with a lot of women religious over the years. And I know that some of them have been deeply, deeply distressed. Some of the members of the orders that these leaders represent have been deeply distressed and discouraged about the public stand against Catholic teachings that some of these women have taken. And I also know that one of the reasons why there are two, you might say, leadership groups of women religious in the United States is precisely because of that. I mentioned the Conference of Major Superiors of Women Religious. That was formed, I think, in 1995, after many years of discussion with bishops and Vatican authorities, and they were finally allowed to start a separate organization of leadership precisely because of the problems in this Leadership Conference of Women Religious, the LCWR, that we're talking about today.
So you do not believe that feminist theology, feminist ideas, cultural ideas, has infiltrated the rank and file of women religious orders?
Well, it has to some extent, and that's the reason why there's a division. there are two conferences that represents the fact that there are. And one of the things that's interesting about it is that the orders that are affiliated with the leadership conference, though they have been, you know, and their history is full of wonderful work for the church and for the poor and the sick and the needy and so on, all over many, many years, founding hospitals and schools and so on. Many of their members were influenced by the cultural zeitgeist that we've had for the last 40 years. And so there is a division within women's religious groups, and there maybe even within the same community there will be some who buy the party line of the LCWR and some who reject it, but nevertheless the ones even who have problems with it are trying to remain faithful. It's very difficult situation for the women religious, and our prayers very much go out to the good solution of this.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is founding director of a Catholic women's organization in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. We'll post a link to Women for Faith and Family at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Helen, thanks for being our guest.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute about the Democratic Party's platform on same-sex marriage. They want same-sex unions, and they want the repeal of DOMA. That's the Defense of Marriage Act. Also, we'll talk a bit with her about the legacy of the late Chuck Colson. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is called The Church from Age to Age, A History. Now, it's one of these histories that's all one volume, but it really does cover all the ground from the apostolic age to modern Christianity, to today's Christianity. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about this great resource of church history. I highly recommend it. 1-800-325-3040. Call and order. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website. Look for the book, The Church from Age to Age, at issuesetc.org. You can get more information there. When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, and then we will take up part two of our five-part daily series on biblical archaeology. In part two, with Dr. Craig Evans, we'll be talking about religious formation in the first century Palestinian synagogue. What does archaeology teach us there? We'll find out in hour two. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.